Thank you very much, Mr. West Tuttle, for getting us in the mindset for worship. Is James, are we on the... We don't know about the main setup there? Okay. Okay, I want to talk with you. So, not very many here, and that's fine. Or two or more are gathered. Don't worry about it. I'm not sure I'm going to let this go out on the internet anyway. There you go. I want it taped. I just don't know if we're going to put it on the internet. That's all right. Let's worship. Don't worry about it, Jim. First of all, I want to start with a... let's just go ahead and worship, gentlemen. That isn't important. Talked with Judy just a few minutes ago, and John's doing much better today. They hope they can work on his arm tomorrow, because they want to... I guess that the way they've got his arm, they can't get him into the machines that they take, the CAT scans and things. So I know you got to lie still and straight. So I'm thinking they probably got his arm, something like that, Jim, or something. And so they want to set it and get it where they can put him in. They want to take a MRI. They want to take a CAT scan. They did one kind of testing to see, and I forgot what she called it, but there are no blood clots, and there's some kind of test they can do for that. And so that's good. Temperature seems to be holding. They're getting nutrients in him now. And he's still heavily sedated. And let's spend a few moments tonight in prayer. We're going to pray specifically for John, but we're going to pray for other things too. For an example, Jerry mentioned his mother, Joanne, going through a great deal, so we need to be in prayer for Joanne, and we can give thanks because Wes thinks his operation's completely healed, and he's out there lifting 5-gallon water tanks around and scaring me to death. His doctor says it's okay. He says it's okay, and I'm not believing it, but I'm not the doctor. And please take care. You tear something, boy, that makes it even compounds the problem. So let it get healed real well. So we got those, and that rejoicing about your recovery. And any other prayer requests? Okay. It's kind of interesting. I'm glad it's just a small group here tonight. As most of you know, I grew up in a Southern Baptist church and believed in Christ as my Savior when I was about 7 in my mother's arms. And went on and did everything the Baptist church had. And was there every time the doors opened, she didn't make me. In fact, I guess you could say I was almost religious. And just always needed to be there. And then as became a teenager, and it wasn't confined to our church, just any church. It had to be Baptist, because the Baptists were the only ones that had the truth. And I'm in humor. But so it had to be a Southern Baptist church. And I'd go to revivals, whoever was giving it, missionary things, conferences, just whatever was going on, I was there. Then I started going to a Bible church and kind of took a different direction from the Baptist, and went there for a long time, then Dallas Seminary. But John Hintz and I have known each other since about 1964. And so we've known each other over 40 years at the Bible Church. And I remember went to John's church to teach. He invited me up every year. About 1990, 91, 92, we couldn't remember when. Lose track of just exactly when things are and when things occurred. But I never forget, I went there and sat down at John's and his breakfast room table, kitchen table. They have a big bar type cutting board, and then the chairs are like bar chairs, sit up. It's a big square thing. And I said, John, I got to talk to you about something very important. And I said, you may not want to invite me back anymore. And so John kind of looked at me like, wow. And I said, and before I tell you, I want you to know, I will not teach any of this here at your church. I would not do that to you, not do that to your church. But I want you to know before you invite me back next year. And I said, I do not believe that confession is the way to be filled with the Spirit any longer. And John, he's a big guy, and his big old hand came down on the table. Pow! Dust went off the table. And he said, neither do I. And he looked at me, what do we believe? And we spent the week just talking and going over how you feel with the Spirit. And went through Schaefer's book, By Faith, chapter 7, and He That Is Spiritual. And so John said, well, teach it. And I said, no, I've got to work things out. I just slowly lay groundwork at my own church. I'm not ready. He said, well, I'm teaching it Sunday. And I said, John, we got a lot of questions to answer. I'll worry about that later. And that's the way John is. That's not the way I am. I kind of like to have a few T's crossed, and I like to know where the I's are going to be. And so John said, well, I'm going to teach it Sunday. And that week really solidified John Hintz's and my friendship. Not solidified it. It just started a new level, a new depth of our friendship. And every year it's just gotten stronger and stronger. Now, here's the deal. I want you to take what I'm saying the right way, because I don't want it to be arrogant, and I don't want it to be, you know, we're the only ones, all this kind of stuff. But people, I don't know anybody, any pastor, now that my friend John's lying in a hospital fighting for his life, I don't know any pastor teaches what we do from being filled with the Spirit. I don't. And that's, if I think about it, it's a little frightening. I don't think about it. But I don't. I can't believe that there's not. I believe that there are some pastors out there that teach it. If you know of any, let me know so I can fellowship with them. But I don't. But if we take the whole world, take the whole world, and how many preachers, priests, what do you want to call them, pastors, reverends, teach that the way to be saved is by faith alone in Christ alone? People, I think that's a small number. When we talk about the whole world, I think that's a small number of pastors that make it very clear that you are saved eternally by faith alone in Christ alone. Now, a lot of them will talk about faith, but they're going to add things to it. Well, yeah, you got to be good. You can't do this, and you can't be real bad. And you got to do this, and when you pin them against the wall, it comes out different. They don't really mean by faith alone in Christ alone. No, you can't be saved if you do this, or you got to do this in order to be saved. So they kind of add to it. And I think that's a very small number. Do y'all think that's a small number that really teach that? Faith alone in Christ alone? I think it's a small number. What do you think, Jim? I think it's a small number in the whole world, if we take the whole world. And then if we take the number of Christians, true Christians, who believe faith alone in Christ alone, not by works and not by anything a man does, I think being filled with the Spirit, if they think about it at all, I don't think a lot of them think about it much. I think they kind of slide on what we'll just call normal sins, as long as you're trying hard. And then they have various things they do if it's a major sin, to them, major sin. But if they think about it at all, I think their number goes real small. That is by faith alone and the Spirit alone. We really do. I think it's very small of that. It's just by faith alone. I think this is one reason that in a lot of churches, this thing of confession is so powerful. In the Catholic Church, and in a lot of churches, Bible churches, and a lot of other churches. Repentance is big in a lot of churches. If you repent, that's a big buzzword in what you have to do for God. But just faith, to be restored from sin. And I think that's kind of frightening. That doesn't mean a lot of people aren't filled with the Spirit at various times. I think a lot of people stumble into it. I think a lot of times in the Christian life, things will happen to believers' trust. But as far as their theology is concerned or telling us, I don't think they can do it. And they just need John in the battle. I need him as a friend, and his encouragement, and my encouragement to him. And John's gone through a lot of battles. His own are different than mine, but he's gone through a lot. And he's just a trooper. He just stayed in all the way through and is not buried. He's got a great wife. Judy is just a phenomenal woman. I don't think she'd mind because we've kidded her about it, but Judy, his wife, was the last person in John's assembly to accept the truth of faith alone and the Spirit alone. But they didn't divorce while he was teaching it and doing it. And they just hung in there together. But Judy came from another thinking. And we always thought that was kind of cute. She's probably the last person in this church that finally saw it and said, okay. So John went, whew, and we can go now. And but she's just a phenomenal woman. She's a school teacher in the fourth grade. And so she puts up a lot with John. John's a funny guy. I know y'all met him a little bit when he comes and does a conference, but you need to go out with John and have him go over three tables and stand there and talk to those people for 10 minutes. They want him to leave and you want him to come back. And I remember maybe 2 years ago, I said to Judy, I said, but Judy, hasn't he, as I recall, he's always been that way. I mean, you knew that when you married him. And she said, yeah, but I thought he would grow out of it. I think a lot of wives think husbands will grow out of it, and they don't grow out of it. And but right now, Judy's going through a great deal. She's at the hospital every day, all day, and right there with her husband. And really can't do anything but be there. And right now they're not even waking up, John. They were waking him up every 4 or 5 hours, Jim, to, you know, how many fingers and name, and just kind of know that he was still there. But they feel comfortable with where he is, and they changed, I don't know what, but they changed what they're sedating him with now, but they're not waking him up. And he has more tubes in him now. They're intravenously giving him nutrients. He's got tubes in his mouth and each of the nostrils, but she's there every day and answers a lot of people's questions. And I told her I appreciated her talking to me personally, because it's so easy just to have one person tell everybody. I remember years ago, I don't think anyone here knows Harlan but Jim, but just have a guy, well, yeah, you know Harlan. And we had to go to the hospital, and a real good friend was in the hospital for about 3 or 4 weeks, and the husband was out and the children out to tell everybody that came what was going on and was happening. And so I remember asking Harlan, I said, you know, Harlan, who's going to, if I'm in the hospital, who's going to be out there to tell people how I'm doing? And he said, don't worry about it. Nobody's coming to find out anyway. So Judy has to do all of these things. So we need to be in prayer. Huh? Yeah, and the children are all there. Tom. They have Tom. Well, they have Travis first. Travis. And then Tom, who's married, has a daughter named Reagan. She was born 2 years ago at the week that Reagan died. And with all of the goings on that week, the baby was born, it seemed like on a Thursday, and so they named the baby Reagan. I don't know if I told you this Sunday. I did, okay, not the other, the other one, they're gonna, okay. And so, Tom, Travis is really, his schedule and stuff, he's been there, you know, every day, all day, and really been a help. And Tom, and then there's Bo. Bo works, with the, ambulance, he's an ambulance assistant in, Tucson. And then little Holly. Holly's in college and works, and so yeah, they've all come in. And his nephew is a neurosurgeon from Denver, from Colorado, and he came in. I'm trying to think, maybe Sunday or early Monday. And Jim, the hospital's been really good working with him, even though he isn't part of the hospital. They've accepted him to come in and look at the charts and talk with them and what needs to be done and different things like that. And he's been able to fill Judy up with things that are going on and let her know exactly what's happening. And she said, told me tonight that he feels very good, and so he's going to get back to his practice tomorrow morning. He should have gone back yesterday, but he called and said, I can't come right now. And and John has an older son by his first marriage in Abilene, I think, and he's there. And so the family's all there. I'd like to be there, but I can't do anything for John, and I'd be getting away with all of that. But I just, so you'll know, I do plan on going right now when he goes home to help Judy move him. He's a big guy, if you remember, and Judy has a bad back, and so I want to go and stay a little bit with him and just help move John around and gig him and laugh with him and just give him his encouragement when he's ready. Yes. Okay, she told me today that the breathing, he's still using the ventilator. But it seems like his own body is wants to pick up more of the duty. And they'll know more and more. Like she probably said, tomorrow, things go well, they're going to operate on the arm. And they wouldn't be doing that if it was dangerous, I don't guess, Jim, would they? So they wouldn't be doing that if it was dangerous. No. So I think that means that they're able to do it, that they feel comfortable about his ability to take these things. John, even though he's a big fellow, a little overweight, he's still in good health. And he has no, he's not on any medication. He's in good health. And so let's have a few moments of prayer for John. Really need him in the battle. I don't know about that, what I was talking to you about. I don't know if I relayed all the heaviness, but I just don't. I'm not talking about John or myself. I'm talking about what we teach. I just, that it's just not being taught. And that's a little warning and alarming, but to me it's just so simple, the truth, people. Isn't it simple to you? If you're saved by faith, you live by faith. I find it so simple. And yet I know from my past, the denominational church, Bible church, it wasn't there. And I just don't know of any, y'all know any pastors that are teaching faith in the Spirit for spirituality? I'm not saying, oh, woe is us, but I just, this teaching is, this doctrine, if you please. I don't know. I don't know many that are teaching it. Any. Now that John's in the hospital fighting for his life. I don't know any. I'm not real sure right now. I'm sorry? Well, no, I meant as a pastor. Yeah. As pastor of the church. Yes, Ian sees it very clearly. Yeah, Ann sees it very clearly. Yeah, powerfully. And so, we need to continue to be in prayer for Ann and what God does with his life and where God leads him. And we need to be in prayer for the wrestling family, missionaries, for Pat, Bill's wife, and for all the children. I'm still just amazed out of five children, all five on the battlefield, on the mission field. And this is amazing, and I think it'd be so wonderful if all five grab hold of spirituality by faith. Right now, they all grab salvation by faith alone in Christ alone. But boy, wouldn't it be great if they grabbed hold to the spirituality, and it's something that John and I talked about, just praying, and when the opportunity comes, express it and all. But right now, we're supporting them because they're giving the gospel to these people. So I was talking to a Mexican in the gym today, and just went through the whole missionary experience down there, And he just shook his head, and he went, "Wow, man." He says, "I don't even go down there." He said, "Man, I don't trust the water. I don't trust the federales. I don't trust anybody." And he said, "I'm from there." And he said that they would do that. That's pretty powerful. So let's be in prayer. And please, if you're just led, just say a sentence out loud. That'd be wonderful. Let's just have a prayer time together in prayer for John Hens, Judy Hens, the family, his church. I wish I could share with you how his church feels about you and express that we feel the way about them. They just feel like we're all so close. And they feel very close, and right now they're without a shepherd. So, yes. Yes, get a few more during the week. In fact, they have a prayer meeting. Oh, they have a class on Wednesday night. They have a prayer meeting at homes, and they're up to about 20. Just come to pray. Yes. I'm sorry? Yes. Well, he hasn't talked too much. The truth, there's truth on the gospel, salvation by faith in Christ alone, faith alone, yes. And in fact, I don't know if I told you because I was so concerned about John, but the black pastor had a conference that week in Phoenix, some kind of a black conference, but he came one night. He said, "I just wanted to hang here and I wanted to hear you." He came up to talk. And he told John he wanted the tapes. And so John has gotten him the tapes. John got them. I know he got them before the accident because he told me he left them on the pulpit for the man. And when this Sunday, I taught 5 days, and then Sunday I left. And so before John left the church Sunday afternoon, he left them where he leaves stuff for the black pastor. So he wanted them. He went out of the way. He said, "I see you're taping. Do you tape these?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, I'd like to have the whole series here this week." So we'll be in prayer for him. You just never know all the things that God can do with something like this, and why we have to suffer. So we'll be in prayer for John, for Judy, for the family. We'll be in prayer for the doctors. We'll be in prayer for John's assembly, our friends, our brothers in Christ, as it were, and another assembly like-minded to us. And then we'll be in prayer for Jerry's mom, and just for each other. In prayer, thank God for Wes's recovery. So let's spend some time together in prayer. Let's pray. Guide him. And our prayer, Heavenly Father, is that at the right time, the right ways, that the truth of spirituality by faith alone and the Spirit alone will be seen. I pray for Grady as I left him with that understanding that your Spirit will make it more and more real. Bill, Courtney, man, all of them, Amber. Father, we pray for Ann and Carol McGrath, two other troopers in the area of missionary activity. Give them encouragement. A prayer that you'll continue to use them. Open up. Open up the drug-ridden Colombia, the corrupt, politically corrupt-driven Colombia. That you can sneak in under radar this humble missionary. And he just roams around Colombia giving the gospel before the enemy even knows he's there, because he's under radar. No fanfare, no big organization, just simply going around giving the gospel. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for our friends and our members of this church, and those that are members by the internet. Their concern, their faithfulness. Use us all, Heavenly Father. We pray these things in your Son's precious name and for His glory.
Amen.